Judy Thompson. 3 Secrets You Need to Know About Spoken English. Hi, my name is Judy Thompson. I teach English as a second language and I love my job. Today I'm going to talk about what everyone needs to know about English. So English is a tricky language. The letters and the sounds don't go together. So no one can read red and head and set and guess from the spelling. And guess from the spelling that those words sound the same. So the connection between letters and sounds in English is so loose, native speakers like me, people whose first language is English, very often have a difficult time learning how to read. And ESL, people who are learning English, can often read very well and can't speak. So I'm going to share with you 3 secrets today that 99% of English speakers don't know about English. And the first secret is specifically for people learning English, it's specifically for ESL. And the second secret is for native speakers of English, to help them communicate better. And the third secret is for everyone. And once you hear these 3 secrets about how English works, it'll transform your relationship to English and your ability to communicate for the rest of your life. So let's get started. English is a stress-based language, and this is important for non-native English speakers to know. It doesn't mean very much. Especially if you come from a language that's a sound-based language. And most languages are sound-based where each and every sound is important. And if you miss a sound or you say something wrong, then the meaning is lost. And English isn't like this. We don't care about sounds at all. Somebody said at work, you know, we are having a meeting on Wednesday, everyone would show up the day after Tuesday. Or if they said when's your birthday, you would just tell them the day that they were born. We have tremendous flexibility with accents. Sounds just aren't that important in English. What's important in English is saying, giving specific qualities to specific syllables. I'll tell you a story. When my children were 3 and 2, it was the first time we took them to a restaurant for dinner. And the server asked the 2-year-old, honey, what would you like for dinner? And she said, basketti. And the 3-year-old who wanted the same meal, was incensed at the pronunciation. She says, it's not basketti, she says, it's spaghetti. And the waiter smiled. But no meaning was lost. So basketti, spaghetti, spaghetti, all mean the same things to a native speaker because the center syllable was pronounced louder, longer, and higher than the rest of the syllables. So if you are trying to learn English as a second language, stop suffering about your accent. Oh, I'm sorry for my accent. Don't worry about your accent anymore. Don't worry about grammar anymore. You have one and only one responsibility and it's to get the stress right and important words and that will carry the day and people will understand you. So the second point. Oh, wait a second, what town are we in right now? What town is this? It's Oakville. Exactly. Oakville. I don't know what that is, it's Punjabi or it's Korean but it isn't English. And Oakville, that would be French. So it's Oakville. And this country, what country is this? It's Canada. Exactly, fantastic. And that's the way stress works. Secret number 2 is for native speakers of English and it's linking. And native speakers don't start words with vowels. We are gonna back up for a little minute because I'm a native speaker of English and I'm gonna tell you something that I thought and I'm embarrassed to say. It's my first language. The world's business and science, technology, commerce is all done in English. Learning English is not my problem. It's their problem. This is what I really thought. I'm embarrassed to say this now. But that's what I really thought. Let me show you a picture of English in the world today. So this is a circle that represents all speakers of English. And the little blue part in the corner, that's the total of native English speakers. So that's Australians, Americans, and Canadians, all together we form 350 million people. And as you can see, that's the vast minority of people speaking English in the world today. 1.5 billion people speak English as a second or third or fourth language. And I'm still thinking, so what? That's my language that they are after. This means most conversations happen in the world today between 2 non-native speakers. And they understand each other perfectly. So yes, China buys her coffee from Colombia in English. And yes, Italy buys. Or Finland buys marble from Italy and they use English. But it's not the English that I'm speaking. The pressure of 1.5 billion people learning this language was they changed it. They changed it. They changed it so much, they can understand each other and they can understand me. So now I see how it's my problem, that more than 80% of the people who speak English in the world today can understand me. They can't understand me for 2 reasons and the first one is linking. Linking is the phenomenon of speaking the easiest way it is to speak. So most languages, the way human beings create speech, the easiest way is alternating consonant and vowel sounds, consonant, vowel. So you know, Germany, Canada, Mexico, China. That's how people talk. And many languages are written exactly that way. So they start with consonants, alternating consonant vowels. Of course, not English. English, as we already learned, is spelled any which way. Independently of how it's spelled, people pronounce it beginning with consonants. So I really need somebody brave here. So this is a normal thing, that somebody would say. And some native English speaker, you're coming down the hall. It's breakfast time. You can smell it cooking. You pop in some toast and you say, "Honey." And who is going to be the brave one? Who's going to say this out loud just like you would say it? Go ahead, say it. What does it say? Say it again. "Can I have a bit of egg?" Exactly. It isn't slang. It isn't sloppy. "Ca ni have a bite of egg" is what we say. "Can I have a bit of egg?" Yeah. And this is why 1.5 billion people can't understand us, because they can't reconcile the words that they've learned and the words that they've studied with the words that they hear. And God bless them, they look for "veg" in the dictionary. Yeah, it's not. It's just not right. So secret number three, the other reason that people can't understand what native speakers say is collocations. So collocations is another name for expressions. Really small groups of words that come together for no reason that create an image. So an expression like fall in love, creates an image of romance or something. But this small group of words is fixed, so there is no fall to love, or fall between love or fall near love. That isn't English and it doesn't mean anything at all. So these expressions are carved in. That's right, they are carved in stone, they aren't carved in soap, they aren't carved in sand. And thousands of these expressions is how native speakers really communicate with each other. Not grammar. So people study grammar, well, they can study it their whole life and they cannot sound like native speakers because native speakers' expressions run English, not grammar. So here is an example. Honestly, if a student of mine wrote this paragraph, I would be ecstatic. So, last night we ate chicken at home. I cooked chicken. After dinner my husband washed the dishes. The grammar is perfect, there is nothing wrong there. But no native speaker would talk like that. Because we don't eat meals, we have them. And we don't cook food, we make it. And we don't wash dishes, we do them. Do collocates with dishes for no reason. And this is how native speakers speak. I'm going to put a nail, the final nail in the grammar coffin right here. So there is 208 actually, 208 grammar rules. So the global English that the 1.5 million people are speaking, they use 10 grammar rules. We use 208. And here is one that we use, adjectives describe nouns. Everybody knows that. What's an adjective? Adjectives describe nouns. Actually that's not really true. And here is a list of a very good adjectives right here. Another tricky thing about English is we have so many words that mean pretty much the same thing. So there is a bunch of adjectives, they mean pretty much the same thing. But one and only one collocates, goes together with Christmas. There is no such thing as gleeful Christmas. There is no such thing as glad Christmas. That isn't English. And there is no Merry New Year. And there is no Merry Birthday. That isn't English. So there is about, I don't know, half a dozen things maybe that go together naturally with Merry. So you can have Merry Men and eat, drink and be merry. And Merry Go Round. The Merry Widow. That's it. So Merry is an adjective. Wall is a noun, there is no Merry Wall. Grammatically, it's correct. There is no Merry Floor. So they, the pink guys, 1.5 billion people can't understand us because we use so many expressions. And they don't use any at all. So grammar is linear, English is abstract. It's an idiomatic language. Collocations is the secret to native speaking, not grammar at all. We are gonna get a few calls about that, I'll tell you. So here we go. Not only do they, nor do they not, the vast majority of English speakers, not use expressions. Here's a picture of what they do use. So the diagram on the right, you've already seen that. That's, you know, the people speaking English in the world. The one on the left represents all the words in English. So there's more than a million words commonly used in English. So anyone here, anybody listening, has instant access to about 500,000 words. We have too many words. Do you see that little pink dot in there with the arrow? Yeah, 2,000 words. That's how many words all the 1.5 billion people use. And this is not a new list. So in 1930, David Ogden developed the basic English word list, about 850 words, and he took it to India, China and around the world. And then by 1958, the Voice of America added 700 words to that and has been transmitting the news of the world to the third world using 1,500 words since 1958. So native speakers lose. We use so many expressions, we can't even understand each other. My son's 18 years old and he eats all the time. So when we get to the end of my meal and there's a potato or something there and he looks over at my plate and goes, "Are you finished with that?" What is he saying? "Can I have your potato?" That's what he said. And I say, "Sure, eat my potato." So he's eating my potato and then he looks up and goes, "Mom, what are you doing tonight?" What does he want? He doesn't care what I'm doing tonight. He wants the car. It's that abstract. There is no connection in words between what we are saying and what we mean. These guys can't get that. Nobody can make that leap. So we aren't invited to international business meetings, we are excluded because the person that can't understand at the meeting is us. And meetings go much better when we are not there. So he's 18 years old. He's on the phone talking to his friends. It's, you know, like, "Gnarly dude. Awesome. You scored a ThinkPad, that's sick." He goes, "Sick? I know that this is a good thing. I don't know what my doctor is saying. I don't know what my mechanic is saying. I don't know what my son is saying. My husband is an engineer, and I don't know what he's saying either." So English is so exclusive because of our overuse of expressions, we don't know what each other is saying and 80% plus of the world doesn't know what we are saying either. So the three secrets that native speakers don't know about speaking English are stress and English is a stress-based language. Linking, and the process of speaking how it's easiest to speak independently of how English is written. And collocations or expressions rule, not grammar. So here's an idea worth sharing. I'm a native English speaker. I teach English. I'm an expert in a language that is almost past its best before date. And there it is in white and black.